Heavenly Father, we come before you with thanksgiving and praise. We do thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that teaches us. And we pray, Father, that as we look into the things of your word, that you would teach us. Lord, I pray that we would practice listening for that still small voice that teaches us, that Holy Spirit that teaches us. Lord, as we read your word, we don't want to come away understanding it with, trying to understand it with our human resources, but Lord, we want you to teach us by your Spirit so that we can apply these things to our lives, so that we can be witnesses for you in this world. We thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you for calling us. Oh, Father, it isn't because of anything that we have or we have done or anything that we could even hope to be, but it's your sovereign grace poured out to an undeserving people. Thank you, Lord, for calling us. Thank you for bringing us into your presence. Oh, Lord, we just love you. We pray, Father, that as we hear your word, that we would take heed to these things, that we would be doers of the word and not just hearers deceiving ourselves. Lord, we want to be pleasing to you. We want to produce fruit. We want to have that fruit that you desire to produce in our lives. So I pray, Father, that you would empty us and fill us with your Spirit. Let us put aside the things that we want to be, our heart's desires. And Lord, I just pray that you would fill them with what you want us to be. And therefore, we will be fulfilled in this life. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have been looking at chapter 12, and with all of the things that are going on in the world today, it's funny how relevant the things are in the Scriptures, how the Lord uses just ordinary questions, ordinary situations to teach not only the disciples of that day, but 2,000 years later, here we are looking at the things that Jesus has said, and the Holy Spirit is still teaching us, still molding us into the image that he wants us to be. Now, we read in our scripture reading today that we don't all have the same gifts. Each and every one of us are gifted in different aspects, in different areas. Some of us are good with music. Others are good with words. Others are good with their hands. Others, you know, you have gifts maybe that you haven't even discovered that you have yet. And then there are spiritual gifts as well. There are gifts that of exhortation that you can talk to somebody and they can be, man, lifted up from maybe a depressed state or something like that. And so as we read the Word and those things that, you know, gosh, you know, I don't have these things. I read, you know, as I was reading there, I just kind of a twinge of guilt there because, you know what, I want to repay evil for evil. If somebody does me wrong, I want to repay them as such. And I get caught up in that. And, you know, and I catch myself and I say, wow, I wasted this time. I've allowed the enemy, the flesh, myself, I'm not blaming it on anybody else, it's my own flesh. I have yielded myself to the flesh when I know the Scripture says to yield this, that this isn't the right thing for you to do. But the Lord, being a gentleman, will not impose his will on us. You see, we can, you know, like I have several kids, as you well know, and I bring them to church. I bring them to church. It's not because they want to come. When they were little, we dragged them to church because this is what we were, you know, this is what we were about. And so we brought them with us. And so as we have brought them up in the church, we see as they've been growing that those things that they have learned in the church are now coming to fruition. That those things that were implanted in them, they know the right way to go. I was speaking to my daughter the other day, and she went to this church, and it was just kind of she just said, you know what, there was just something about it that just wasn't right. I can't put my finger on it, but she knew what the truth was. And so, and I just sat back, and I said, do you even hear what you're saying? You can't even hear what yourself is saying, you know? I mean, it was just like, and I said, you know, like, yes, they may look like they're not paying attention. They may just be looking at the ceiling or whatever, but God's Word is quick and powerful and able to cut into that person's heart and soul. And it's just neat to see how it works. So, you know, parents, you know, you've got small children or whatever, don't stop putting in the Word of God. You know, like we read, in the evening, and sometimes we come across, you know, like we're reading in the Old Testament, and Leviticus, Numbers, that can be kind of dry, kind, you know, not quite the most exciting things in there, but it's the Word of God. I'm not responsible for what it says. He is. I'm responsible for reading it. So, okay. You know, sometimes I'm scratching my head, Lord, what? You know, I mean, I can't pronounce all of these names, and, you know, I've got to testify. I skipped over a little place here because I could not pronounce those names, and it was just a struggle for trying to do so. And so I tried to get to some place where, you know, and I said, yeah, you want to go back over there and read those names and try to figure out what they mean? That's great. And I'm sure there's something in there for you. But maybe that's why the Lord had me to do it, because, okay, what did he skip over? What is he keeping from me? Okay, I want to get in there and find out. Well, hopefully that's something that will take hold. But the Lord, in his Word, throughout the entire Word, and I'm seeing it more and more, is that the Old Testament and the New Testament are identical. The same things that the Lord is laying for us in the Old Testament, and we're going to see that in chapter 19. And I pray that you would read ahead for Wednesday, because when we get together on Wednesday, we're going to see the loving kindness of the Lord. It's just phenomenal. And so I see here, and we're going to be kind of picking it up at verse 15, but the idea is that the Lord is cautioning us. He's telling guys, look, this is the way to go. The way of the flesh is death, but the way of the Spirit, it's life. And he says unto them, take heed, be careful, take earnest heed to beware of covetousness, being greedy of stuff, being trying to amass a fortune to yourself. Now, stuff in itself is not bad. It really isn't bad. But listen to the application that the Lord is putting in here. He says, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. You're not measured by them. Too bad, Donald. You know, all of those things that you possess, you're not measured by those things. It's a man's character. It's his life. Now, the life that you have given, and we're going to talk about the life in a little while, but you just stop and think about the life that you have, that the Lord has given you. Now, some of you may have had a pretty hard life, or so you might think, until you compare it to somebody else. And then as you start to, you know, compare it to other people, you start to think, well, man, you know what? I didn't have it so bad. In fact, there are people who, sometimes they feel guilty because of the life that they've led, because they've been given a life of leisure, or maybe they were brought up in a well-to-do home, so they do work with the poor and the homeless to kind of ease their conscience. And they call them, those kind of people, philanthropists, where they give of their wealth to needy causes. And I'm not saying that that's bad in itself, but what is it that the Lord would have you to do? You see, let's go on with the parable that he says in verse 16. He says, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God has said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So riches in itself are not bad. Having stuff is not bad. But the true riches, being rich toward God. There are many people who are believers in Christ, and they can be trusted with a great substance, great amount of things, because they're not taken captive by them. They're not worried about them. You see, look at the heart of rich man. Now, it starts off that ground, okay? The ground was cursed for man's sake. Remember? And so, if you're of a earthly mind, when it brings forth plentifully, then you're thinking that, hey, I have been blessed by God. Okay? And what does the Scripture tell us? When riches increase, don't set your heart on them. It doesn't say don't set your mind on them, but it says don't set your heart on them. Don't be deceived by those things, thinking that gain is godliness, that God is blessing you. It could be the other way around. But God is testing you. What are you going to do with those things? Look at the heart of this guy. In verse 17, he says, "And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do? Because I have no room to bestow my fruits.'" Now, if this is a rich guy, he's probably already got big barns. He's got it's probably stocked to the overflow. And so he really didn't need all of that excess, did he? But that wasn't his heart. You see, he wasn't rich toward God. What is the heart of God? When we read in the scriptures, what is the one thing that you associate with God? Gave. For God so loved the world that he gave. And you see it throughout the scriptures. Do a search. Do a search on give and given, and you're going to see that there are thousands of places where the Lord says, "I have given you my son. I have given you the grace." And it's free. Freely you have been given. You see? And so the ground came forth. Oh, yeah, okay, he had to, had to have servants to plow the ground. He had to do all of these things. But when it came and he got this increase, his thought was to keep it to himself. To hoard it to himself, rather than looking around at the people that may have needed it. He had more than what he could ever hope to spend, but yet he needed to amass more and more and more. And a lot of times, it isn't the money. It really isn't the money. It's the idea of, this is the how I measure success. Because I have all of these things, I need bigger barns now. So that means I'm going to have the biggest barn on the block. So the Lord is really blessing me. The Lord is, when we look at those things and we look at Jesus and we compare the two, Jesus had no barns. He didn't have any fields. He didn't have a house. He didn't own anything except for the things that he wore. So he didn't have a U-Haul trailer following him up Calvary. It was easy for him to let go of all of these things because he didn't have it. And everything that he had, he gave out. And so the warning here is, it's not that these things are bad, that you have these things. It's when they have you. That's when it's really bad. Because it says, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." We don't know the day of our death. And the Lord here is really going to hammer to us, and hopefully we pick up on this, is the urgency of his return. Of when he's coming back. We look at the world today and the world scene and all of these kind of things. And that's kind of cool, all of this thing. But we don't know the day of our death. We don't know if we're going to go out there, if we're even going to make it home tonight or today. We don't know what's in store for us. So we need to be ready at all times. And that's what the Lord is kind of saying here. Don't let these things hold you back. Don't let your mind be so consumed by your job, your business, your amassing your wealth, that you're going to miss out on the things that God has for you. Because he wants you to be rich toward him. So now he's going to say something that's going to be a little difficult for the ears of those who are not born again. Okay, so we know that we're born again because we're following after Jesus because he's laid it out. He says, first of all, deny yourself. So if you're denying yourself, you're not going to be involved in covetousness. Covetousness isn't going to be an issue for you because you've given all that up. It isn't mine. I know that I am. This world is transient. It's going to be wiped out. The heavens and the earth is going to roll up like a scroll, and it's going to be evaporated, and it's not going to be seen again. It's not even going to come to mind, the things that are happening on this world. So if you're amassing a fortune here on this earth, it's going to be gone, all of it. And so you, as being born again, know, hey, there's no need to take stock in these things. So he says, and then he says, take up your cross and follow me. Taking up your cross means going to the death, dying to those things. And in verse 22 he says, and he said unto his disciples, notice, he says to his disciples, and the disciples were the ones that denied themselves. They're picking up their crosses and they're following him, giving up all. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. The things of this life, now this would, to somebody that was not regenerate, to somebody that was not born again, this would be a call to laziness. This would be called to sloth. Hey, you know what? I don't have to worry about these. I don't have to go out and get a job. The Lord is going to supply these things. But he gives an example here of the ravens and the birds of the air. But before we go there, let's think about Ecclesiastes 9. He says, "I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the son of men snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them." So the situations that we find ourselves in is what the writer to Ecclesiastes is saying is the, or not to the Ecclesiastes, the writer of Ecclesiastes is saying here is that the Lord has given us different opportunities at different times in our lives. Some of us have had good opportunities. Others have had bad opportunities. And it's all a matter of how the Lord wants to work in each of our lives, according to our ministry, as we saw in Romans 12. If you're looking for a ministry, let's wait on your ministry. What is it that you've been going through? What is it you've been dealing with? Maybe the Lord is taking that opportunity for you to minister to like people because you've been through it. You know how to get out of it. You know how to be strong. The Lord has taken you through that. You know that we need the strength of the Lord to accomplish these things. In Colossians 3 it says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above." Like he was telling the rich man. He says, hey, you know, you're not rich with God. You're rich in the things of the world, but you're not rich with me. He says, seek those things that are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So this is the thing that we look forward to. We are dead. So therefore, we're not going to be busy about amassing stuff to ourselves. This is not that we shouldn't be going out and working and things of that nature. It's amassing extra stuff. Okay? In the world today, we have seen in the last couple of years how many people were ripped off by this Ponzi scheme that went. You know, they were all investing in this guy and all of their life savings, everything that they trusted in, went, the things that they were going to retire in, gone. No chance of recovery. It's all gone. All gone. Nothing, and there's no time to do it again. No time to remake it all again. But they're not rich toward God. Otherwise, they wouldn't have gotten caught up in these things. You see, the Lord is going to lead us into the things that we should be doing. As far as our work, investments, things of that nature. The Lord is going to do that if we put him first and foremost. He is not going to lead us into evil. Remember the prayer that he taught his disciples. And lead us not into temptation. Don't lead us into trials and testings that we're not going to be able to overcome. The Lord is the one that leads us and guides us if we allow him to do so. So if we're rich toward God, we're going to be on our faces looking for his leading and guiding. Consider the ravens, verse 24. For they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, which taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Why take thought for things that you can't do anything about? Has any of you ever been unemployed? Looked for a job? Couldn't find a job? Desperately searched for a job? Was it a bad thing that you were trying to look for a job? No, it wasn't. But you couldn't find one because for whatever reason it was. Maybe the economy is too bad. But you were giving diligent thought to doing this, and you weren't able to accomplish it. the same thing with adding a foot to your stature. Now, some of us, we don't need a foot. Others would like to be a foot taller, you know. But by thoughts, we cannot do these things. These are things that are all governed by God. The body that you have, guess what? It was a gift from God. The mind that you have, it was a gift from God. The hair that you have, or lack thereof, okay? It was a gift from God. The way that you look, the way that you are, your personality, it was all a gift from God. Your life was a gift from God. And so we just give Him thanks and praise that He's given us the life. And not only this physical life, but also eternal life. He has given us those things. These are all free gifts from Him. We cannot, by thought, regulate our heartbeat. Oh, we can think about things that make our heart race, yes, you know, but we can't do anything to regulate our breathing by thought. Those things that are automatic with the body, these are things that the Lord has given us gifts for. He regulates all of those things. He gives us the days that we are to accomplish, the moments, the seconds of our days, and we will not live 1 second longer than what God has prescribed us to do. And so we can look at the rich man when he was looking at the, say, hey man, I got stuff laid up for many years, let's kick back. But boom, he's got a heart attack and he's dead. You know, or whatever it is, a brain aneurysm or whatever, but your time is in His hands. And so if we're worshiping and honoring Him, it's going to be such a smooth transition. It's going to be, you know, you're going to pass from one life to another, and it's going to be a wonderful thing. But if you're struggling, if you're striving on this earth, it's going to be a terrible thing. It's not going to be, it's a tragedy. Because, James chapter 4, he says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. So in your own flesh, you're strong, you're young. There's you young people in here. You're young. And you say, man, I got my whole life ahead of me. Well, maybe not. Maybe it's going to end momentarily, you know, before the sun goes down. You may have seen your last sunrise, or you get the idea that life is transitory. Now the Lord says, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. See, the Lord knows that you have needs of these things, and these are the things that the nations are concerned about. But you shouldn't be concerned about those. That's phenomenal to me. The Lord, I mean, this is basic stuff. Eating. Having a place to live. Having a place to, you know, having food. Well, if you don't need food, then you don't need a place except for to sleep. Okay, you got to have a refrigerator to keep your food in. But the Lord here is saying that don't mind these things. The Lord knows that you have need of these things before you ask. Now, in Isaiah 51... it's kind of interesting how you put these things in there. It, lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. So these are the things that the Lord gives us. The heavens and the earth are going to pass away, but the things that I give you, they are going to remain forever. Now let's turn over to Psalm 103 and take a look at what the Lord has for us. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, and do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So these are the words, the recounting of those that are rich toward the things of God, because he knows the things that the Lord has for him. He's well versed in the things of the mercies of God, of the grace of God. He knows that his sins are forgiven. This is the man that is rich toward God and the things of God. And such as you, as you read the word, you become rich in the things of God. And your faith then is strengthened because you know that the Lord is going to take care of you. And if you should leave this earth, you know that you're going to be right in his hand. We sang about that today. That, hey, in his hand, I am what? Fed. Or I am led today. Okay? Where it is that he would have us to go. But he feeds his flock like a shepherd. The scriptures tell us. He gives us, you know, and then compare that to the Isaiah passage. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment. And they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Now, this was just a one-liner about the goodness and the mercy of the Lord, whereas Psalm 103 brought it all out. And as we go through hard times, these are the things that we're going to be thinking about. The mercy and grace of God. And it overcomes the things that we're going through. Because we know where we have come from. We know that we are saved. And that leads us right into verse 31 of Luke 12. Let's get back to there. Where the Lord says, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things? The things we just read about in Psalm 103. Now, as we, I don't know about you, but as we were going through and reading those things, my heart was pricked with joy. Because I know that the Lord loves me so much that he's bestowed all of these gifts on me. And what is joy? Joy isn't because you're happy about something. It isn't winning the lottery or getting a raise in your job or any of these things. Joy is a gift of the Spirit. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Oh, my friends, this is it in a nutshell. But rather seek ye first the kingdom of God. Don't set your mind on the things of this earth. Because the enemy will bestow great riches on you to distract you. Oh, now what do? I got this inheritance, and now I've got to go get a tax attorney. I've got to go get a lawyer so that I can shield myself from people trying to take the money away from me. And you're going to be overcome by all of these things just to try to hang on to things of this world. But if the Lord gives it to you, it's a gift, right? How many of us, you know, came into this world with anything? We didn't. The only thing we came in with is our skin. And we're going to leave the same way. We're not going to take anything out with us. So everything that we got in this life was a gift. It was a gift from God. And He is able to take it away as well as give it. And you can look at the book of Job, and he talks about that, you know, where he had gotten so much stuff, but it didn't get him. And when these things were taken away, he still blessed the name of the Lord. Naked came I from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. Blessed be the name of the Lord. All the time he knew that it was the Lord, by the Lord's hand, that he had gotten all of these things. So, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock. Now, if you've got a notepad or something, I would write this down, okay? Because we forget about this so many times, you know, especially when we're going through hard times, and sometimes when we're going through those fits of depression, when, oh, you know, you know what they are, you know, you're going through things are really bearing down on you, and you start to think, God, are you there, are you up there, kind of like the children of Israel, when we looked at on Wednesday, are you with us or not, you led us into this place where there's no water, but God had a plan and a purpose, and so, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is what God delights to do. And what delights Him more is when His children get in and start to research these things and amass to them the riches of His Word. And then you would be able to pen Psalm 103 in like manner, because you know all of His benefits. You know the graciousness of God. You know that He will never leave you nor forsake you. Doesn't matter how hard the times get, He will always be there for you and make sure that you survive. Verse 33 kind of is a throwback, if you will, to what He told the Pharisees. Remember the Pharisees in verse 41 of chapter 11? He says, but rather give alms of such things as you have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. You know, the Pharisees were one, they were washing the outside and making appearances look good and making other people believe that, hey, I'm holy, and if you want to be next to God, then you have to be like me. But inside, Jesus brought out their insides and says, you're full of death, you're dead men's bones, you're full of ravening, and you know, these things are, because you're full of covetousness. You want, you're grasping, you're trying to amass to yourself fortune. And the Lord says to sell what you have and give alms. And it's kind of like, it goes hand in hand with the rich man. He says instead of pulling down his barns and building bigger ones, he should have been giving those things away. That's the heart of the Lord, to be giving. Because He says, sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens. Now you have to believe that that's where you're going for you to start storing up treasures in a place that you've never seen. So as the Lord, as these things hit you, says, you must sell what you have and give to the poor. Remember the rich young ruler. He says, one thing you lack. You kept all of the commandments, that great, but one thing you lack. Sell what you have and give to the poor and take up your cross and follow me. Wow, that's a heavy-duty thing. But if it's keeping you from the heavenlies, if this is taking up your time and all of your opportunities, and you start to think, hey, it's because of my great wisdom. Remember what we read in James? Hey, we're going to go to this city, and we're going to stay there a year. We're going to buy and sell and get stuff and get gain. Okay? If this is what you're about, then you're not going to be rich toward God, because you want to be having this treasure in the heavens, bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And this really, you know, just pricks my heart. You know, I got, where is my heart? Is it toward the things of the Lord, or is it about trying to take care of my family? Is it maybe I should go out and get a better job? Or maybe I should shave a little bit off of this deal so I can take that extra and put it into my 401k. You see, these are the kinds of things that covetousness brings. Because you're trying to regulate your future. Now, am I saying that you shouldn't have these things? No, not at all. But if it's consuming you, if it's taking up all of your time, if you are not rich toward the things of God, then there's an idol in front of you. Jesus says you cannot serve God and mammon. If you're going to be amassing yourself a fortune on this planet, then you're serving mammon. If you're amassing a fortune in the heavenlies, then you're serving God because you know that that's where you're going to go. Now, I don't know if you, probably a lot of you maybe should be a little too young to remember the night deposits and things like that. I guess we have ATMs and stuff that we do. But, you know, you if you don't have an account at a particular bank, you're not going to make your night deposit at that. If you have an account at Bank America, you're not going to make your deposits at Chase. You see? It's not you don't have an account there. And so if you don't have an account in the heavenlies, you're not going to be sending any treasure there. You're not going to be putting anything away at that bank account because you don't have an account here on this earth anymore. See, you're dead in Christ. And we looked at Colossians. It says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So if you have that fellowship with the Lord, He's going to be leading you and guiding you and directing you on what to do with the gifts that He has given you. And He's going to talk about that a little bit more. A little bit later. He says, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. Now, I found that to be fascinating about your loins be girded. It's talking about being expecting the Lord to return at any time. Being awake, being watchful, being ready, being instant. So when you hear the sound, it says, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. And it's, and Ephesians 6 says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about it with truth. And so you're preparing yourself. Your loins are girt about. You're ready. You're ready to move out, and you know which way to go because your loins are girt about with truth. Now, 1 Peter really puts it, I think clarifies it for me anyway. 1 Peter 1:13 says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end of the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So that when He returns, you have girded up your mind. With what? With the truth. With the truth of the Word of God. You've been investing in it. This is how you send treasure ahead. Instead of being a part of this world, you start to get into the Word. And you start to ingest it. And you start to exercise it. The loins being girded about means ready to go. And your lights burning means talking about your witness. Your light burning. What is the light that you have within you? John 5:32, Jesus talking about John the Baptist. He's describing John the Baptist to these guys. He says, there is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. The witness, the works that you're doing, the change in your life, the testimony that you have to an unsaved world. That doesn't mean you have to stand on the street corner, but just let your light burn. Let it be burning within you. Stoke it with the truth of God. As you're looking at the Word, you become more confident. And that light is going to burn brighter and brighter because you can't help it. It's the Spirit of God coming out. It isn't something that you have to manufacture. If you don't have it, you pray for some of it. And if you have some, then you pray for more of it. Whatever it is that the Lord would have you to do. And as you start to go through these things, then you start to realize, hey, this is my ministry. This is what the Lord has for me to do. It will be a natural outflow of your relationship with Him. as you're reading His Word, as you're being filled with the Spirit, you're going to start doing things that, hey, that I didn't do before because I was dead to these things, and now this is the things that I want to do. These are the desires of my heart. You know, I just naturally do these things. Blessed are those servants, verse 37, whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, He shall gird Himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve Him. Now, as we are expecting our Lord to return, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, the Scripture is talking about is what we call the rapture of the church, when the Lord is going to come back and take His church out before the great tribulation, as the 70th week of Daniel is pronounced on the world around us. Now, this is one aspect of being ready, being watchful. This keeps us pure. It keeps us from getting involved in the things of the world. But even to a greater extent, is we don't know the ending of our life. And so we need to be watching and ready at any time for the Lord to come for us. We don't know when that's going to be. So we live in that expectancy, expecting the Lord to come back at any time. Because He says, hey, watch. You know, that's what you need to do, is watch and wait for Me to come back. Now, He uses the analogy of the wedding. The servants didn't know that what time He was coming back. But they knew that He was coming back, and so they were waiting for Him, and they were watching for Him. And when He knocked, boom, they immediately opened the door. Because they were watching, they were waiting. So, verse 38 says, And if He shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. So blessed are you if you're continuing to watch, no matter what time it is, no matter what it is that's going on around you. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known at what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. So, you got much good stored up. Take your ease. Take it easy. Isn't that just like the world? I don't worry about that. The Lord's coming back, sure. But not today. Come on, take it easy. Take a break. You don't have to worry about it. Yeah, the Lord's coming back. Yeah, don't worry about it. But the Lord says here, be watchful. Being waiting. Beware of covetousness. It creeps in. It's not something that automatically, you know, oh, I'm covetousness and I'm coming in. It's something that creeps on you. It's something, oh, you know what, you might have lived in poverty for such a long time, and then as things starting to get better and better and better, we forget about the Lord. Oh, you know what, yeah, I know that the Lord was the one that did anything, but if I didn't go out and work, if I didn't, yeah, He feeds the birds, but the birds go out and they look for the worms and the bugs and things like that they eat. That's the same thing with us. We must be busy about the things that the Lord has put in our hands to do. He's given us talents. He's given us jobs to do so that we can provide for our family. But setting your mind on the things that come from those things is very dangerous. And He says, take heed, take careful heed, lest you be covetousness. Beware of covetousness, because those are the things of this world, not of the things of the next world. Yeah, well, I think we'll end it there. But for next week, and your reading of next week, and we're talking about basically chapter 58. Jesus talked about going to court and things like that. He admonished us that if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. So the essence is everything that you have was a gift. You didn't get it because you were, you know, more smarter than anybody else, but time and chance happened to us all, and the Lord gave us that time and that chance. Not in the sense of, He rolled the dice and it fell to you. It was all planned out for you to be tested by these things. And so, don't set your heart on the things of this world, but store up treasures in heaven. That's what the basic thing that the Lord is saying. But we know that we have needs on this earth. But the Father knows what you have need of before you even ask. So ask Him, and He will supply all of your needs. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. We thank You that, Lord, that You are so gracious and kind to us, and You know that we are but dust and ashes. Father, You know what our frame is. So we pray, Father, that we would yield ourselves to You, that we would not be overcome by the things of this world. But, Lord, help us to be able to store up treasures in heaven. Lead us, Lord, in the places where we would give our alms. Selling those things that we have, Lord, by Your direction and by Your command. Lord, we yield ourselves up to You in Jesus' name.